that email. You are dreading that text. Your heart starts palpitating. Is that the right word? Palpitating. And then you catch yourself. I thought I'm a man of faith. Samuel, you're a man of faith. Come and sit in front here. There's a front seat waiting for you. Okay. You thought you're a man of faith. Then I catch myself panicking. You know, embarrassingly panicking. Then I just tell myself, wait a minute. What am I afraid of? And then I look at the bottom line. The end of my fear is what man can do to me. You start panicking because somebody with some power or some authority might do something or take some action against you, and then you're afraid. You know what I do at such times? I remind myself of Psalm 27. Let's read Psalm 27 together. Psalm 27. Baby. No, she's get quiet. Just don't worry, don't go too far. She just wanted your attention. Please, let's read together. Right. Just verse 1. That verse 1 enough. 1 to go. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Can you see it's a question mark? Do you know who should answer that question? Ask yourself next time something is making you panic. Whom is behind it? And if indeed the Lord is the strength of your life, should you be afraid of anybody or anything? Let the worst happen. Let the mountains tremble. Let the hills fall down. You know what? Jehovah will still be Jehovah. The Lord that we see there, capital L-O-R-D, means Jehovah. The self-existent one. The one that is who he is, the great I am, the covenant-keeping God. The one who is the Lord of hosts of the armies of heaven, who can never lose one battle, is my light and my salvation. Think about it. So if he's my light and my salvation, indeed, whom shall I fear? I think somebody just needed to hear that. Whatever you are afraid of, whatever it is, please remember that the Lord is your light and your salvation. And if you've not made him your light and your salvation, simply confess him. For whosoever shall confess the name of the Lord shall be. Okay, so that's where the word salvation comes. All right, Eutychus. I just want us briefly, do we have microphones? Quickly, I just need microphones. 1, 2, 3, right? We have 3 sections. Glory be to God for the 3 sections we have tonight. I just want to ask us a quick question. I will read this passage we've been studying. We've been studying Acts 20. Today is the part 2 of what we titled Eutychus sat on a wall. Please check your neighbor, see what they are doing, because we don't want any Eutychus in the house tonight. Please just check them. If they're on their phone, check that they are not doing something funny on their phones. Because Eutychus, definitely, like we saw in the Bible, was not part of that, whatever was going on at that point in time. He tuned off, and he ended up dead. Okay, Acts chapter 20, I read from verse 7. The Bible says, now the first day of the week, from the New King James Version, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until the midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Verse 10, but Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now, when he had come up and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Last week, we focused on Eutychus and who is really to blame for what happened to Eutychus. This was like a gathering together of believers. This was like saints of God coming together. This wasn't really what you would call a mixed multitude. This was people gathering together in the name of Jesus. And like the scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So they were gathered, the Spirit of God was there, Jesus was there, and yet someone dies, falls down from the window, lands from the third floor, and is carried up dead. Who is to blame? That was our focus last week. And we came up with different answers, different reasons, who to blame and why the person should be blamed. If you can recall, some people said everybody should be blamed. Some people said Paul should be blamed. Some people said the lights should be blamed. Some people said the devil should be blamed. Someone said the opposition should be blamed. They plan to embarrass Paul and disgrace the church. So I don't know how they did it to put Eutychus to sleep. Somebody said his GP should be blamed. Probably was prescribed some medication, you know. And my beloved Joshua said the devil should be blamed because the devil whispered to Paul's earring and said, no, leave him, let him die, you know. And some people said, well, oh, maybe it's for the glory of God. God allowed him to die. So in other words, God killed Eutychus so that he can glorify his name. Whatever we looked at, we zeroed in on, can we look at things also from this point of view? There's always a God part, and there's always the human part. God will play his part. Human beings also need to play their part. While this fellowship was going on, apparently Eutychus was sitting on the wall, on the window. Window, you always find a window on the wall. Yeah, but before I go on, somebody said the building, whoever built that building or the building manager should be blamed for putting a wall without proper protection. So, you know, can we look at it from this point of view that even though we're gathered in the name of Jesus, Jesus still told us to watch and pray. We should not be too spiritual, focused on whatever we're doing, service or hearing the message, that we completely tune off and we're not conscious of, you know, the brethren around us. Because apparently that young man was sitting on the window and he fell asleep on the window. How come nobody noticed he was already dozing up till the point where he fell off and died? But that's just an angle we looked at it from last week. So what I just want to ask us is, you know, having looked at it last week, and I really want to appreciate all the children. Please, let's celebrate all the young children who contributed last week and who are also here tonight. I just want to ask us a question tonight that, look, you know, reading this story and from what we've seen, what can we say personally that we have learned or we're learning from this story of Eutychus. I remember last week someone told me, do you know, I've never actually seen that story before in the Bible, never read it. Okay, now we've read it, we've studied it. So can we just get contributions? Oh yes, Zara. Please give Zara the microphone. Zara is behind you. Excuse me, sir, you have the microphone. Eutychus, wake up, sir. Please, if you see anybody who loses concentration. By the way, the meaning of the name Eutychus is fortunate. It was fortunate. You have it on your phone saying that his name means
fortunate. The word was used as an element. Change, luck, good, fortunate.
Okay, so that's the meaning of Eutychus. It's actually a Greek name. The proper pronunciation is Eutychus. Somebody. That guy must have been a Scouser. A proper Scouser. If you meet a proper Scouser, you know. Eutychus. Come on, somebody say Eutychus. Eutychus. Hey, brother Yuti, say Yuti. Right, so what have you learned from that story? Looking at the story. Yes, is the mic on? Sir, you gave her the mic. Can you monitor the mic? Yeah, just go and stay there ready to receive the mic from her. Thank you, sir. Please give her a very good volume. Yes, Zara?
That you should never sit on the wall and you shouldn't pray too long.
Wow. You should never sit on the wall. Please, give up. That microphone is low. You should never. Can you say that again, please?
You should never sit on a wall.
Volume.
And you shouldn't pray too long.
You should never sit on a wall and you shouldn't pray too long. Come on, Zara. Where did you get that from? I can agree with. Don't sit on a wall. Is there anything like praying too long? Sorry, did you say prayer or preach? What did you say? You should not.
You shouldn't pray.
Pray.
You shouldn't preach too long.
Preach too long. You changed your mind. You said pray before. You see, she changed her mind. No. She wasn't confused. She's nodding her head that she said pray before. And she had preach. Okay, yeah, preach. Yeah. Because I know who you are directing that to. So I take it personal. Okay. Pray too long. Is there anything like praying too long? Yeah? You think so? Okay, you're nodding your head. Can you explain what you mean by pray too long? Where's the microphone on this side, please? Yeah. So please, whoever is on the microphone, get ready to sprint back and forth. Is it on? What do you mean by praying too long?
When I was younger.
And when you were younger.
And we had
now
to,
you're older.
Yes. And we had to go for like vigils or meetings. And then the person starts like talking and it's like a repetitious kind of prayer.
Yeah.
So you kind of lose track of where the person is going.
Okay.
And then it's like the person is just praying too long. So that's my own understanding of
Praying too long.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've clarified what you mean by praying too long. Okay. Jesus actually taught about repetitive prayers. Don't let's think that because we're repeating repetitive prayers, it means that God will hear us. So that's what you mean by praying too long. Okay. But can you pray too long like you start talking to God now? And you talk to God till the daylight. Will you consider that as praying too long? The Bible talks about pray without ceasing. Have you ever tried to pray before and then you started praying and then before you knew it, it was 3 hours? Has it happened to anyone before? Will you consider that as being too long? No, there's nothing like praying too long in that context. But repetitive prayer, God bless me, God bless me, God thank you, God, 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 God. I remembered when I wasn't a Christian, when I really, 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 really tried to pray, and I remember all I used to pray, you won't believe this. I can't believe it now, thinking about it. But this is the way I used to pray, Mario. Oh, God, please give me this thing, give me this thing, give me this thing, Lord, give me, give me, give me. Please God, 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 please God. You're laughing at me now, but I used to pray like that. And I would say that, please God, 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 please God. And I believe that the more I say please God, the more God will be pleased. You know. Okay. Yes, what are we learning from Eutychus? Thank you very much for that, Sarah. Don't pray, don't preach too long. Okay, let me attack that. Is there anything like preaching too long? Ah, you again. Somebody else this time. Who said yes? Sarah, give it to her. You have to justify your statement. Who's got a mic here? Yeah, what do you mean by preaching too long? Hey, the microphone.
Like, if the preaching is just going on and on and on and on, like, maybe they set a time. Pastor, I'm not attacking you. But maybe they set a time. Maybe they set, like, a time.
Yeah.
Like, and the person just
who
goes
set the
on.
Time? Who set the time?
Okay, maybe, for example, like, the way we have, like, the time.
Okay, they
for,
say
like,
that.
The
yeah,
word,
just
50
preach
minutes.
For, okay,
yeah.
Please speak for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and you then don't you go exceed. Over, like, 40 minutes.
Okay, that's what you mean by too long.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at this scripture. Let's look at this scripture. Paul began to speak. Right? The Bible said that gathered and God, Paul began to speak and he continued speaking. And he spoke until midnight. And then this guy fell asleep, fell down, died. And Paul goes back, raised the guy from the dead. And guess what happened? He went back. And the Bible said he spoke till the day break. So would you consider that as speaking too long? Okay, well, when you get to heaven, you can attack Paul. So, you're not saying what? Please give her the microphone. You're on tape. Every I do what you speak,
sorry,
you stand
it's not,
in judgment.
I don't. it's not that the preaching was not did not have like substance. But it was like, it was too long. Even the scripture there says
what
that.
Paul was, you mean Paul? Are you talking about Paul?
I'm talking
now?
About Paul, sorry.
So he spoke too long.
Yes, it says that he talked a long while in some other
yeah,
scriptures.
He spoke a long
so
while.
He spoke for a very long time. But it's not as if that what he said was, did not have relevance or was not,
okay.
Yes, but it was long.
All right, it was long. Is it right or wrong? That's what I want. That's really what I want to hear. Is it wrong to preach too long, like Paul did?
No, in this particular.
Yes, in this particular.
In this particular sense, no, because
no.
Because
okay.
The people were able to follow him.
But somebody
to the
died.
End. Yes, but he got up and obviously he stayed till the end too. I don't think he left.
But he died.
He died and he got up and continued. Pastor.
Okay. If you were in that meeting, and somebody died like that. And they ask you to come again for such a meeting. Would you go? All right, let's stay safe. Okay, who else? What are you learning from Eutychus? Yes, sir, from this story.
If you go to the verse before this.
Okay, verse 9.
And the Bible stressed that there was a young man named Eutychus.
Yes, sir.
And what came to mind is sometimes we may get so busy, talking, preaching, doing all the activities, which we just agreed to that was very good, and we neglect the young ones.
Mm.
And then the young ones sit on the wall,
mm.
and sometimes they fall by the way, and they can die. So even in the midst of our activities, in the midst of us being very spiritual, praying,
mm.
doing all the good things, we should not neglect the, because the Bible specifically said there was a young man.
Right. Thank you for that. So that also can be translated to, there are people who are weak around us, who don't have the sort of faith, the strength, the belief, the endurance we may have when we're doing, spiritual activities. Because I remembered when I was just learning, upcoming, growing as a Christian, there was this brother, oh God, I've spoken about that brother before. Every time I talk about that brother, I still feel the passion. Oh, this guy almost killed me. Oh, come on, let's go and pray, brother. Oh, let's fast. I didn't plan to fast. I want to go and eat. That's when he will call me, no, we are fasting today. You know, oh, we are going to preach today. Oh, come on, let's go out. And then we go outside on the streets of Lagos in Nigeria, get those big buses. You know those big yellow buses? Some of you know what it is. That we should enter those buses and we will preach to all the people in the buses. Boy, I plan to eat. Samuel, I started running away from him. Oh, yeah. Why did I run away from him? Okay. Spend the whole day with me tomorrow, right? I will spend 3 days with me, and I will guarantee you, you will start running away from me. I guarantee you somewhere. Okay. So why did I run away from him? It was just too spiritual. It was too much for me. I couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle it. And you know, I was working then in this oil company where they give you continental food, 3-course meal. That was our lunch. You get soup, you get bread, then you get the main course and then you get the dessert. Then I was working in a company called Mobil Producing Nigeria Limited. I'm going for that lunch. You are telling me to go and fast. Unannounced, unprepared. Come on. Don't be too spiritual. Thank you for that, sir. One more contribution, please. Yes, ma'am. What are we learning from Eutychus, this story?
What I can see from this story is that is the giant that confronts every Christian, especially when we're reading the Bible or we are praying or listening to the word of God.
That giant is
if
what?
That giant is sleep.
Sleep. Okay.
Sleep. So a believer tends to get drowsy.
Mm.
A believer tends to, I don't know how to put it, but...
Weary.
Weary.
Yeah.
And somehow sleep comes in. And I believe that's what happened to Eutychus.
Mm. Okay.
And it still happens today.
Yes, it does. Happens to me. You can ask my wife when we're praying at home. Hey, why are you looking at me like that, Noah? Don't you sleep too? You that, once we enter the car now, before we get to that junction. Why am I exposing the secret? Because he laughed at me. the young man laughed at me. Yes. Eutychus sat on the wall. Right, let's move on tonight. Let's try and focus now on Paul's response. Okay? Fine, the guy, for whatever reason, sat where he chose to sit and fell and died. Now, if that should happen, because I want us to use the power of our imagination like we're having the Bible study tonight, somebody just falls down and dies. Come on. Come on, what would be your reaction? I know you are people of faith, right? I know you are. You have faith. What will you do? Sorry? You call Ezekiel to... What happened to your own hands? Why him? Because what? Have you raised the dead before? They say you have experience. Or you go and call, you phone one pastor. How many of us will dial 999? Please, let's just, you're a medic. Yeah, you call 999. You know. Sorry? You gonna call? No, it's not a distraction. You gonna call who? What's that? Please don't mention names here. Yeah. I should listen to him. Was he trying to say something? Don't worry, I know his middle name. His initials is T.E., Tola Eutychus. Yes. What will be your reaction? Yes, sir. Microphone. Please give him the microphone. There should be a mic on this side. Mic there, all right. Yeah.
I think we would start looking for who to blame.
The guy just died, man.
Yeah, people will be saying, why did he sit on the wall? Okay. You know, why aren't we doing anything?
Okay.
People panic. There'll be panic.
Panic,
people
will
be crying. Mm-hmm. People will be confused.
Yeah.
Different.
It's just going to be chaos.
There'll be chaos, yeah.
Anybody wants to say something? Yeah.
And I think everyone will be expecting pastor to lay hands
on. To do something.
To do something, yeah. A pastor do something.
So go to help the pastor. Anybody on this side?
Someone said someone put it on Insta story.
Don't worry, if it happens, Pastor Kafo is here. We'll just come on, Pastor. God brought you here for such a time as this. Please let's celebrate Pastor Kafo. Okay, let's look at Paul. What was Paul's reaction or Paul's response? The Bible says in verse 10, but Paul went down and fell on him. Look at that. Paul went down and fell on him. Now, for Paul to have taken that step, I perceive that the first thing here is that Paul did not panic. In the midst of the chaos, like our brother said, in the midst of whatever blame game, why did he sit there? Who saw him there? They probably blame his parents. Somebody said last week, we blame the ushers. Why did they let him sit on the wall? You know, blame game, chaos, panic. Some people will be crying. Some people will be screaming. And you know, some people can come on. They can do drama. Paul did not panic. One of the things that the Bible teaches us, especially when we read 1 Chronicles 20, the Bible says that you shall hold your peace, for the battle is the Lord's. Do you know what that can literally mean, to hold your peace? It means that peace can actually run away. You can lose your peace, literally. So you don't panic. It's difficult at such times. I perceive. Because when you are still, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. It's when you are still, in the midst of holding your peace, it's easy for you to be able to think properly. It's easy for you to be able to hear God. Remember, earthquake, thunders, but God was where? In the still, small voice. The Bible, there's a scripture, I think it's in Isaiah, that says, I'm trying to quote the scripture now. 26:3, Isaiah 26:3, that's the one that he shall keep him in perfect peace, whose mind he stayed on him, because he trusts in him. There's one also in Isaiah I'm looking for, something about, it's about peace also. It talks about, oh Lord, help me. Let me see if I can quickly get that scripture. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe the Spirit of God is ministering to you. Something about, anyway, I pray I will remember it. He didn't panic. Sorry? Somebody say something? Okay, you'll get it now. All right. So, the Bible said he went down and fell on him. So there was contact. Remember, Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Please note that the first thing we see here is not that Paul did not talk first. You know, at times when we're praying for people, and when you literally look at what Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Just touch without even saying anything. If we believe, Isaiah what? 30 what? 36 what? What does he say there? No, not that one. Not that one. Right? He touched him. Contact. And then he spoke. You see, at times when we really strongly believe, right, we are vessels, we are carriers of God's power. Remember where the book of Acts, where we're studying that, the Bible says aprons, handkerchiefs, they will touch Paul's body, and they will take those handkerchiefs on people, and the sick will be healed, and even demons will be cast out without any word spoken. That's the power of God. What does that say? No. In peace and something shall be the stability of your, that's what I'm looking for. In peace and quietness shall be your strength. Isaiah what? That is the scripture. If we, 30:15. Please bring it up quickly. Powerful scripture. Isaiah 30:50. There is something about holding our peace, because Jesus is really our peace, you know. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved in quietness. And please give us the King James Version. And confidence shall be your strength. There's something about that. In the midst of the storm, remember Jesus was asleep on the pillow. How can somebody sleep in the midst of storm? Peace. He held his peace. King James Version, in quietness, but in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Okay. All right. So, he touched. When you look at the scriptures, you shall lay hands on the sick shall recover. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, Luke chapter 7, verse 22. Jesus said, even the works that I do, you shall do also. You know, at times, seriously, it's a lack of faith that makes us shout. Devil, get out. Did you not hear me? Are you deaf? Get out. Where am I going back? Because even the devil I'm trying to cast out, I'm afraid of. Hey, you shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. You believe strongly, you lay your hands, be healed in Jesus' name, brother. But come. Brother, you must be healed. Lack of faith, spiritual gymnastics. Look at what Paul did. Went down, fell on him, embracing him. Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. That's all he said. You spirit of death! Holding Eutychus, I command you, get out, until you lose your voice. No, seriously, I'm not trying to be funny. can we do like the Acts of the Apostles? Do we believe? I think it's high time. These things we're reading, we read them so that we don't forget to do. We're not forgetful hearers, but doers. Lay hands on the sick. Excuse me. Yours is to lay hands. And it's up to God to raise the dead, heal the sick. Do you believe in God who's giving you that instruction? Excuse me, do you remember Moses? What was the instruction that was given about the rock? He was just told, speak to the rock, and water will come out. He got to the rock. Let me tell you what he did. I learned something seriously. And if you're a leader, please be mindful of this. He got to that rock. And the people who were provoking him and provoking God were there. He was so angry. The instruction was simply speak to the rock, right? He got to the rock. He didn't speak to the rock. He spoke to the people. You stiff-necked people! How long will I be here? How long? How long will I? How long? How long? Bang! Bang! And then he struck the rock 3 times. That's disobedience. So some of these gymnastics we do at times in the name of even trying to heal somebody is disobedience disguised. If you believe, these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay hands. Please lay hands in the name of Jesus. Be healed. You know, our general overseer, Pastor Okafor, will bear me witness. She had one story about they called him one day that they've been trying to cast out a devil from somebody they brought. And they came to disturb him where he was, that, you know, they've been trying to cast this devil out. So they called him, he came. So I saw them, all of them jumping, you know, like prophets of Baal. You know, they were jumping on the, asking Baal to, he said he went there. I think he just laid down, so the devil get out, and then he left. They called him. We called you to pray. We pray. Why did you just go? He said, what do you want him to do? He's done what God says to do. He left. And guess what happened? The devil left the person. Do you believe? Do some of these things we do not actually some coded unbelief? Do not trouble yourself. His life is in him. You look at it. Paul spoke after he laid hands on him. You know, there's a precedence to this. Remember Elisha? 2 Kings chapter 4, when he raised the dead woman's son. This wasn't even the days of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He went, please, 2 Kings chapter 4. From verse 32 to 35, let's just see precedence, and we'll round up here tonight. I just want our faith to be stirred up. Lay hands. Believe God. You just do it in obedience. Because really it is our obedience that God honors. So maybe the extras we add to it just corrupts the miracle. When Elisha came to the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. Verse 33, he went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them. He prayed to the Lord. Verse 34, went up, laid on the child, put his mouth to his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hand on his hands, stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Verse 35. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. That was an Elisha who wasn't even in the time of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that the acts of the disciples were working in. He did that. But look at Paul. Went, embraced, his life is in him. Guy raised back to life. Do you have faith? One of the things we should learn, don't lose focus because something bad has happened. Because when you really look at it, afterwards, what did Paul do? He went back and continued to preach. Somebody who may be panicking, please do not panic. Can we pray? Can we pray? Can you just exercise your faith tonight? There's a human part, there's a God part. Can you do that which is possible and leave God to do the impossible? Can you test the word of God on yourself tonight? I challenge someone tonight, lay hands on any part of your body. Lay hands right now. And speak to that part and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And once you do that, start thanking God for your healing. And leave it there. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. Please, let's go into Thanksgiving, everybody. Let's go into Thanksgiving. Go into Thanksgiving. Believe. Only believe. They asked Jesus, what shall we do to work the works of Jesus? He said, only believe. Only. Is that simple? Somebody saying, is it that simple? Yes, it is. It is. That's what brings glory to God, that you know that it's not your power, it's not by your might, it's not your screaming, it's not your jumping. And can I even say it's not your fasting? Because fasting does not change God, it only changes you and I. It helps us and puts us in a place where we can believe God more. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we thank you for the miracles you've done tonight. We thank you for the entrance of your word that brings light. We thank you for the understanding. We thank you, Holy Spirit, as you expand more and more of these things tonight that you've taught us tonight. We pray that the things we've heard, we will not forget. As we go, we will practice, we will do in the name of Jesus. I sense that someone, once we leave this place, you will have to face a challenge. And you have to exercise what you've heard tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody blessed tonight. Somebody learned something.